Former Trump immigration official Stephen Miller joins me to explain how Biden's open borders are far more dangerous than most of us understand. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, we'll talk midterms and another Trump run for the White House. Follow the Sarah Carter Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. I mean, I say good morning, but it really hasn't been so far. I mean, it's been kind of a crazy morning.
There have been so many F-bombs thrown.
Oh, my God. It's all her, you guys. Her. Usually it's me, but her, wow. I mean, the words that it's kind of like when I was a kid and my dad would wallpaper and I would hear combinations of words and I was like, what is that? And then that's how I developed my love of cussing. Like the stuff that's been coming out of her mouth this morning. Wow. Hide your kids. Hide your wives.
Because you guys, I lost power again, just randomly. Like, remember yesterday it was a total fiasco because during the show I lost power. And then it was fine. The entire rest of the day, power was fine. And then all of a sudden, while she and I are talking and getting ready, and I've got all my videos loaded and ready to go, the freaking power goes out again.
Right. I was having sound issues and she's like walking me through sound stuff. And all of a sudden... gone. Where'd she go? Where's Mark?
I mean, what in the world? Anyway, it has been a crazy morning and we have a fun show planned. Woo!
We are crazy this morning, you guys. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's true. But even though we're crazy, we are not too crazy to remind you to get yourself some Acre Gold. This is the thing, you guys. Acre's our favorite. And it's funny because, listen, I will tell you right now, we get a lot of requests from a lot of different gold companies saying, we would love for you to, you know, talk about our gold and like promote our gold. And we won't, because the thing is, there is no one else but Acre that offers a layaway plan for gold. And that's why we think it's so cool. Now, we're not telling you go and like sell everything you own and just have gold. We would never tell you that. We just think it's a nice way to be able to diversify your already existing portfolio, whether you have a 401k or IRAs or whatever it is that you have. There is no reason, if you've ever thought, maybe I should add some physical gold to the mix, that you shouldn't try to do that just a little bit. And if you like it and if you like stocking up, there are three different payment plans that you can use. $50 a month, $100 a month, $250 a month. Any of those will get you different size bars that are sent to you through the mail. They come right to your door and then you can store them. They are the only company that we know of and trust to work it like that. And that's what's so cool about Acre. And you can check out all the details, see all the information at getacregold.com/chicks. Cannot wait for you to see my name today.
What is it? Tell me. Show it, because I was going to tell everybody to make sure that they check out our website, chicksonright.com. Bookmark it. Go there every single day. Lots of great stuff out there, you guys. I don't know why you're not going there. If you're not going there, I mean,
you're missing
out.
I
don't understand who you are. Go there. Go. What's your name? What's your name?
Today, I am Megan McCain, and I will tell you why. First of all, Carrie Lake's race, her primary race, has not yet been called. It is still not called. Now, she's in the lead against her primary opponent, Robson. Karen Robson, I think is her name. She is leading Robson. However, it's not official. Now, Carrie, I think, is treating it as though it's official, like her whole team is celebrating, and rightly so. But they're not calling it. Like, it's not official, and it is making me crazy. It never used to be a problem with elections. We never used to see this back in the day when everybody would just go to the polls on election day, and then you would vote, and then the results would be in that night. Now everything is batshit, and it makes me absolutely infuriated. By the way, if you haven't listened to our deep dive with Carrie Lake, that's a good podcast episode to listen to because we asked her about the whole Meghan McCain fight. So definitely listen to that episode. Speaking of fights with Carrie Lake, now she is having a big fat fight with the lead singer from Twisted Sister.
Wait, is that, that's Dee Snider, right? Is that Dee Snider?
Yes.
Is that the
no,
come
that's
on
Quiet
field?
Riot. You're thinking of Quiet Riot. This is We're Not Gonna Take It.
Okay, because I feel like they go together. Like those two, like there's like two or three bands during that time that kind of smush together. Because they, I'm sorry, no offense against those bands. I just wasn't a big fan of like those two or three bands. I was more of like a purist with the Van Halens and stuff. Those were sort of, they were like hanger-oners. You know what I mean? I just wasn't a big, that, yeah.
Well, can you name another song by either of them? Like, I cannot.
No, so I cannot. Okay. No, no. Okay, so why is she fighting with him? Why?
So, okay, so there was a clip apparently from her campaign team on Twitter that they posted, and it was like from a campaign event, and she, that song played, like the, we're not gonna take it, that song was playing.
Jeez.
So he lost his mind because he's a complete lunatic. And so he took to Twitter and said, while I abhor what this ignoramus Carrie Lake stands for and the deplorables, yup, Hillary Clinton had it right, that she represents, I cannot legally or morally stop her from using or singing my song. I wrote it for everyone. Cherry picking who uses it is censorship. So because Carrie is who Carrie is, she did not just let that go.
Yeah.
So her campaign Twitter account tweeted out the lyrics of the song and tagged him. Okay. So yeah.
Like all the lyrics.
I think I haven't seen the tweet, but I'm reading it from Newsweek. So she did that. And then he got super mad and was like in all caps mad and said, hey, idiots. Read the first line. We've got the right to choose. This is a pro-choice anthem that you're co-opting. It was never intended for you fascist morons. As the songwriter and singer, I denounce everything Carrie Lake stands for. Write your own damn song. And so then they didn't stop. So then they tweeted out a picture of Dee Snider testifying at a Senate hearing in 1985 when he was talking specifically, speaking out against warning labels on record albums. And so Carrie Lake's team wrote, remember when you were anti-establishment?
Yeah. Oh my God.
And so then he said, remember when you didn't read my testimony? I stand for what I always stood for, anti-right wing, anti-fascist, anti-a-hole, pretty much your candidate in a nutshell. And I don't know if it's gone on after that, but that's like the catch up from Newsweek right now. So
yeah. And now he's like, he's a state guy, right? He's the statey. Like he's the guy. He's the establishment.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's big government. That's the thing. That's what a lot of these people are. They're big government. Like they will like live and die by it.
I mean, I guess props to him for not trying to like sue for her not to use the song.
Because there are a lot of those folks that do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Foo Fighters, whose manager will come after us for using a song, right?
Yeah, like honoring them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I love the Foo Fighters so much, you guys, that we used it as the beginning of our, you know, of our show on WIBC for years. And then somebody caught wind of that and their manager's like, we're going to go ahead and send you a cease and desist. Stop using that song. And so we had to stop using it, and which completely broke my heart.
Oh my God.
You have no idea how many concerts I've been to for the Foo Fighters. And I was like, okay, great. So what am I supposed to do with all my Foo Fighters shit that I have? What am I supposed to do now?
Yeah. I can't imagine because like if we had done that with a Robbie Williams song and then he sent a cease and desist, I literally would have melted down.
Right.
I would have been so crushed by that.
Oh, heartbroken. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, anyway. All right. Quick note before we get into some of our videos to share with you today. Today, according to Christina Pushaw, Governor DeSantis has a huge announcement. And it's not about like 2024 or anything like that. It's a official business announcement, she said, but it is going to cause liberals. This is according to her. It is going to cause the mother of all meltdowns. And so very excited to see what today's announcement is. I don't know what it is yet, but that's be on the lookout is what I'm saying.
The mother of all meltdowns today.
She's saying watch for the huge meltdown. I'm saying, because I exaggerate, I'm saying it could be the mother of all meltdowns.
Okay. So it's obviously not anything that has to do with the 2024 election. So it's probably something Florida related, obviously.
Yeah. I'm sure it's something like hugely Florida, which is, you know, listen, Florida sets a great example for everybody, right? And so more power to them. So we'll see what that is. All right, now on to some videos. So I've got a couple of notorious KJP Corinne Jean Van Cloudam, or whatever her name is. She is, first of all, responding to a question about the abortion executive order that Joe Biden signed off on yesterday, which is to put some protections in place for women who want to cross state lines in order to get their abortions if they are in a state that doesn't allow them. So there's a really interesting point of this that I want everybody to hear, and it's towards the beginning. So just listen carefully, and then we will discuss.
Look, I mean, just to, you know, it's really important what this is going to do. It's going to help, in particular, low-income women, right? If you think about it, it paves the way for Medicaid to pay for abortions for women having to travel out of state. Secretary Becerra will invite states to apply for Medicaid waivers to allow them to provide reproductive health care to women who live in states where abortions are banned. Those he judged to be the strongest and most effective on both legal and policy grounds. That's what the president is doing. He's reviewing the options that he has.
So if you are already unhappy with the fact that there are going to continue to be abortions and that people are going to cross state lines, I don't have a problem with people traveling from state to state. And I think it's a little weird when there's any kind of state trying to set a restriction about that. Like, that to me is super weird. But for us to pay for it?
Yeah.
No. Like, that is the one that I'm just like, you got to be freaking kidding me with this.
Yeah, the individual should pay for it. Does she ever not read stuff too? Am I the only person that notices that? Like, she literally is just does she even know what she's reading?
No, she does not. The answer to that question is no.
God, she's awkward. So awkward. I swear.
Oh, okay, my God.
Yeah, but I totally agree. I mean, I think that the individual should be paying for their own crap. But I mean, you can't expect Democrats to get on board with that notion because they want everybody else to pay for their crap. That's basically their tagline. That is the tagline of the Democrat Party. You pay for my crap. Everything. Yeah. I mean, that's what they believe.
Just enraged about that. Like, it's, you know, it's already bad enough that there's going to be continued killing of babies. And now they're going to make taxpayers pay for women who want to travel to get it done. Like, this is insane.
Well, listen, you already have corporations that are like, we'll send you on a 5-star vacation if you want an abortion. Here's a check. You know, I mean, it's gross. This is what
it is.
So this is what they believe, and they think it's great, and they want to be rewarded for it somehow. This is the Democrat Party. This is who they are.
Just infuriated. Quick reminder about our friends at My Patriot Supply. You guys, they've got a special right now on the 4-week emergency food kit, which is 2 big buckets, essentially. A 4-week emergency food kit, 2 big buckets that contains enough food for you to have 2,000 calories a day in an emergency or a disaster. It's just one more tool in your tool belt of preparedness for any kind of emergency or disaster. And not only that, but it's delicious food, which, I mean, it's hard to believe that food that lasts for 25 years in storage is delicious. But I'm here to tell you, I've already snacked on some of it. So it is, which I know defeats the purpose, blah, blah, blah. I know. But I can't help it. So if you want to get your 4-week emergency food kit with $50 off, just go to preparewiththechicks.com and you're going to save your $50 on a 4-week kit. Highly, highly recommend that you have it. Gives you a huge, huge peace of mind.
Yeah. And you guys, we actually talked to Moms for Liberty 2 days ago. The deep dive came out yesterday. We love these ladies. They're fantastic. I honestly think that we could become BFFs with them. They're just awesome what they're doing. I highly recommend that you listen to this deep dive podcast that came out yesterday. And you're going to want to, they're going to fire you up. You're going to want to get involved. They both were on school boards. It's just a really wonderful organization that they've started. And I just really, really recommend that you listen to this one. If you've not listened to any of our other deep dives, this is a great one to start with. So,
especially if you want to get involved in some way, there's a lot of really good information in there about how to do that.
Right. And school's starting up again. I just think it's a really important one for parents and grandparents to listen to and just plug into what's happening in our schools. et cetera. So check it out. Definitely check it out.
Definitely check it out. Okay, one more from KJP, because I know we haven't mentioned it in a while, but and that's because we're not moms of infants. But you guys, people who have babies still can't get their hands on formula, if you can believe it. I mean, it's sometimes I'm just like, what is even happening? Remember how we could just used to be able to get whatever we wanted whenever we wanted because we're in America?
You take that for granted. Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that this is still a struggle for people is completely blowing my mind. So they asked Corrine about this yesterday, and she just kept talking about how they've done the work. Listen to this.
Corrine, families are telling us months later that they're still seeing limited or at least little to no improvement in their access to baby formula, and market research shows that shortages remain right now. So to those families, has the administration done enough to solve this problem?
So as you know, this is a priority for us. We understand what families are going through, caregivers, moms and dads, grandparents, and we have done the work, and we'll continue to do the work to make sure that families have safe baby formula so that they can feed their kids. This continues to be a priority for us. This has not gone away, and we do understand that there's a lot more work to do, but we want families to know and understand this is an administration that cares about them, that cares about the safety of their children, and we're going to continue to do the work.
God, she's so full of crap. Okay.
They're going to do the work.
Yeah, they're working. They're going to do the work. It's a priority. It just isn't happening. Like, there's nothing is actually coming of that. Like, nobody's getting what they need. But, you know, they're doing the work. Okay.
What in the world does that even mean? Oh, my God. So that's still a problem. And, of course, inflation. Still a huge, massive, giant, fat problem that's just going to get worse with the inflation Recovery or Reduction Act? Whatever. It's going to do the exact opposite of what they're saying it's going to do. But somehow, Whoopi Goldberg has decided that the reason that people are having so much trouble paying for things is not due to inflation at all, but instead, here's her theory.
On young people, but if you have worked your behind off, you've tried to move yourself up the ladder. You talk about people can't get gas, they can't buy food, they can't put their children through any kind of college. That's because they're paying off these freaking student debt.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I cannot with her.
I mean, what in the world?
That's it. That's what it is today. That's what she's decided. Okay.
That's a great idea, Whoopi. You know what? We should forgive all the student loans, and that will not contribute to higher prices of everything
right.
for everything at all.
Yeah, we should just pay that off. We should pay that off. What's next? Everybody's car loans? Pay all those off too?
Mortgages?
Right. Just start paying off. What would be next? What would you guys want for free? Just from all the unicorn kisses and puppy farts and everything. It's just, who's going to pay that off? I mean, it's just that money just comes from where? Poof, out of nowhere. Good Lord.
I know. It's so, she's just such an idiot. But like, there's her being an idiot. And then there's this chick, Mary Daly, from the actual Federal Reserve, who is perhaps not an idiot, but who is so freaking tone deaf about how inflation is impacting most of the country that just listen to what she says. This is audio and not video, but you're going to be so angry. Listen.
I see prices rising, but I have enough that I can make substitutions, that I can do things. So I'm not immune to gas prices rising, food prices rising. I sometimes balk at the price of things, but I don't find myself in a space where I have to make trade-offs because I have enough. Many, many Americans have enough.
Okay, so she has enough. Okay, so this is coming from a federal employee. Right?
Yes.
Exactly. We pay her. We pay this broad to live. We
right.
pay her to live.
Handsomely, apparently.
A cush freaking life. You know, I pay for her retirement, which she never has to worry about that. She never has to worry about where's my retirement going to come from? She doesn't have to worry, you guys, because of us, because of the hard work that we do. And she doesn't have to worry about that. So she's like talking about screw you, lady. You don't have to worry because of all of us. Oh my God, these people. Holy crap.
How do you say that out loud and not feel like a complete C word?
Like a complete asshole. Like, seriously. What? Like, oh my God. Who are these? Wow. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm serious. I'm sorry I said that word, but that there's no other word to describe her than you are. Like, when you say that out loud and you know that people are hurting and they're literally like, they're seriously, they're trying to figure out where their next meal is coming from. You are an asshole. Yeah. I mean, there's no other word to describe this person. I mean, there are people that have lost their retirement savings that are dipping mm-hmm. into that to feed their kids. Like, honestly, wow.
Well, and there was an interview, I think it was with a woman that runs like a food bank, and I can't remember where, but this woman was reporting to a local news station that she is seeing far more people in need of food bank services than during the worst of COVID. Like, yeah. It's way worse now.
Exactly. It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't think she's probably ever spent any time outside of her tiny little bubble, you know,
right.
And especially like in the situation that she'll never go without because we provide her life for her. So she's never going to have to worry about that. It's crazy. It's these people are, they're talk about privilege.
Yeah.
To me, that's the ultimate in privilege right there, because she'll never have to worry. Just like a lot of those people during COVID didn't have to worry because, you know, like the government people who were shutting down small businesses and they were shutting down people in the private sector, they didn't have to worry because mm-hmm. they were taking money from the people in the private sector. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that to me is the ultimate privilege. It's like you, and then they were sanctimonious and they were up there on their, you know, little pillars telling everybody how awesome they were and how much, you know, how they were morally superior to everybody else for doing this and that. And they were telling everybody what to do. Meanwhile, they were shutting down these people's abilities to basically live and to have mm-hmm. a livelihood. And how dare they? How dare they?
Yep. And that's exactly what happens when communist, socialist sorts of policies start to take over countries.
Right.
It's never the top that suffers. It's always the people, the regular people that take the brunt of everything. Always. Okay. We got to talk about Alex Jones because this is a huge, huge story. There's no avoiding it, you guys. And I know yesterday when we showed the clip of him like being asked by the judge to spit out his gum, which turned out to be gauze, and then that opened up a whole other can of weird worms. We got a lot of comments on our YouTube channel from people defending him still and saying he's got like the worst judge ever. She hates him. This is totally unfair. There needs to be a mistrial. And maybe that's true. Maybe she hates him so much that, and it's so painfully biased that his lawyers will appeal it on those grounds. And if that's a case, then that's a case. However, if you've been watching any of the hearing at all, he does not know how to be a person. Like how to just be a regular person. And so he keeps digging his own hole. So I tell Daisy yesterday when this news breaks, because oh my God, we're going to show you the main moment from yesterday's trial, which exploded everything. I was telling her, you know, he's filed for bankruptcy, which is a way that some people use to delay court proceedings of these kinds. And he's somehow been able to do that, even though there have now been text messages or emails released that show he was making $800,000 a day with InfoWars. A day.
I can't even.
I don't know what you're even saying.
I couldn't, we were doing this via text message. I couldn't even type back to her. Like, I couldn't. Like, I was like, I kept trying to type back and I was like, I kept messing it up because I was like, I can't compute what you're saying to me right now. Like, $800,000 a day? Like, what? How? What? And how?
Yeah.
And what? I don't understand how. Like, people follow this guy and they
give him.
And people here in this chat, you know,
yeah.
Presumably. You know, and I know people are like, good for him. Okay, well, good for him. Yeah, because I'm a capitalist too. And that's okay, good for him. But wow.
Then to file for bankruptcy?
Right.
Especially when it seems like such a obvious ploy to delay all the proceedings. So, and then he got in trouble with the judge because he he said in front of the jury that he is bankrupt, which is not true. And so she had to admonish him for saying, you can't say that. You may have filed for bankruptcy, but that is completely different from being able to say you are bankrupt. So that you're saying things that are not true. And the thing that is going to get him in trouble and possibly jail time, you guys, this is no longer just about money, is that he totally perjured himself. And there's no question about that. And so defenders of him, I don't know how you're defending that, but it's absolutely been proven true. So in his official deposition, he said, and during discovery, he claimed that he had turned over every email, every text related to Sandy Hook. Well, that clearly was perjury because he got caught yesterday in the middle of a big fat lie due to the absolute incompetence, it turns out, of his own lawyers. And you're going to hear what happened from the opposing counsel. Watch his how red he gets and how completely freaked out he gets. This and then the spin. It's pretty remarkable.
You know how an iPhone works, right? You've had iPhone text messaging for several years now.
Yeah.
What does it mean if the messages are in blue? Whose messages are those? Whose phone is this taken from?
I don't know whose phone's taken from. I mean, I turn the phone over and take the stuff off.
Can I have you look in the very bottom below the very bottom left corner? Is that your phone number?
Yes. So you did get my text messages. And then said you didn't. Nice trick.
Yes, Mr. Jones. Indeed. You didn't give this text message to me. You don't know where this came from. Do you know where I got this?
No.
Mr. Jones, did you know that 12 days ago, your attorneys messed up and sent me an entire digital copy of your entire cell phone with every text message you've sent for the past 2 years, and when informed, did not take any steps to identify it as privileged or protect it in any way, and as of 2 days ago, it fell free and clear into my possession, and that is how I know you lied to me. When you said you didn't have a text message about Sandy Hook. Did you know that?
I told you the truth. This is your Perry Mason moment. I gave them my phone, and then...
Mr. Jones, you need to answer the question.
No, did you know this happened?
No, I didn't know this happened. But, I mean, I told you I gave them the phone over.
Just answer the question.
You said in your deposition, you searched your phone. You said you pulled down the text, did the search function for Sandy Hook. That's what you said, Mr. Jones, correct?
And I had several different phones with this number, but I did, yeah. Well, of course, I mean, that's why you got it.
No, Mr. Jones, that's not why I have it.
My lawyer sent it to you, but I'm hiding it. Okay.
Mr. Jones?
Mr. Jones,
please just answer questions. There's no question. Mr. Bankston also only asks questions.
Sure.
So, yeah, he said in his deposition, yeah, I did a search on all my texts for Sandy Hook and I did a search on my emails and there was just nothing. And so then his lawyers, I don't know how it happened, but his lawyers sent an entire copy of all the texts and emails to opposing counsel and then didn't call it privileged. So he was caught in this big fat lie. And then the judge called him out later. And said, you've been caught lying twice today. And so, and not only that, but he totally disrespected the jury on his show. Like he called them all blue collar, that they didn't know what planet that they were on. So then, of course, the opposing counsel plays that for the jury that is deciding this case because this guy is so, I don't understand the people that keep defending him. I just don't. I do not get it.
Well, like somebody said in here, and I totally agree with this, with all that money, he could have like hire really the best lawyers that money can buy. Like the absolute best. Like you need to hire freaking, you know, I don't know, OJ's lawyers. You know what I mean? Like hire the best lawyers. Like, cause I don't, that's the thing. If you're making that much money, you hire people that would, you think would be able to check all those emails and all that correspondence and make sure that it is that you don't get caught in a lie. You know, you'd think that they would know that they would do their due diligence. And so that seems very strange to me that he would that he would be caught in such a predicament like that with really great lawyers. I mean, especially right. if you're making that kind of money. That's preposterous to me. So, yikes.
The folks that don't know what this story is about, there are two. This is one of many lawsuits that he is currently facing from the parents of the kids who were murdered at Sandy Hook. And the reason that they're suing him is because they're essentially claiming this is not a First Amendment thing. This is total defamation because he claimed over and over again on his show that this entire thing was fake, that Sandy Hook was a hoax, and in the process completely defamed the parents. And so two of those parents are the ones that are involved in this particular suit. And they, of course, have been on the stand talking about how ruined their lives became as a result of the horrible rumors that he spread about them, like not being even real. And so the mom, for example, got on the stand and she was like, I'm real. I'm a real mom. My son has a real birth certificate. And, you know, they talked, of course, about the impact of all of these lies that he told about them. And so, I mean, this is just beginning. Like, this is just one of many lawsuits. The problem now is that it's not just civil, because now in Texas, where this is all taking place, the laws against perjury could end up putting him in jail for 10 years. Like this, he is digging his own grave with this. And he keeps making it worse and worse. In fact, the lawyers on the other, on opposing counsel also showed from his own freaking show from this trial, he showed a graphic of this judge on fire, like in flames, and has been, you know, talking poorly about her. Like, how are you this dumb? How are you this self-sabotaging that you would do these kinds of things in the midst of your own trial? Like, it right. just makes my head explode that people are like, he's totally right. And then everything he does is perfect and fine. I'm like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah, I think it's just the parents. I mean, the parents of these children that were murdered were harassed. I mean, it just goes back to that. They were harassed because of this guy who said that it didn't happen. You know, right. at the very least, just say, you know what? I screwed up. I shouldn't have done that.
Well, and to his credit, he did finally do that yesterday. He finally right. said and admitted it was 100% true. And I was irresponsible to make the claims that I did, but it's kind of a little too
yeah,
late.
But that's, you know what I mean? Yeah, but I think when he did that yesterday, now what do people who, you know, who are clinging on to that that conspiracy theory, what do they say to that now? Now, since they, yeah. you know what I mean? Now, what do they say? Now, when he admitted, okay, basically I lied about that all these years.
Well, he doesn't say that. He says, I believed what I said at the time because okay. the internet had so many questions. And so I had the same questions. So that's how he's not saying I lied. He's saying I was wrong, but that he meant it at the time. That's kind of how he's positioning it.
Yeah. So, I mean,
he's
what
in
I mean?
A lot of trouble. Yeah. So
yeah, I feel terrible for those parents. I feel terrible for those families that had to deal with that. I mean, can you imagine being harassed after all?
Well,
that?
And then you know how gravelly he is, like just in general. After the day ended yesterday, the mom, one of the ones that is suing him, handed him a bottle of water and had like a small conversation with him. And you could see that he was apologizing to her and that she even said on the stand that she had forgiven him. Like, it wasn't about that. She was like, I have forgiven you. I know you're a dad. And so I know you see me now. I know you believe me, but you still need to be held accountable. So, yeah. I mean, she like, it was a nice little exchange from what I can tell. In fact, the opposing counsel, like her lawyer, finally dragged her and the other parent away. And they were like, you're not being subjected to this. You're not doing this. It's been like high drama in that courtroom for sure. Anyway, one more thing. I know we're running long, but one more thing before we get to your sack of whack, because I had to show this teacher's video from TikTok who is talking about pronouns. Now, the reason that this is so amazing is that this is a teacher of fifth and sixth graders and she says it just happened. Like, a conversation about pronouns just kind of happened in her classroom. The kids in her classroom, or at least one of them, and then others agreed, are totally trolling her. And she's like reaching out to TikTok to figure out how to deal with it. Watch this.
Okay, TikTok, I really need your help here on this one. I'm a teacher. I teach fifth and sixth grade. And this morning, I don't know, somehow the concept of pronouns came up. And one of my students said, well, Miss O'Dell, did you even ask me my pronouns? And I was like, whoa, I hadn't actually asked him his pronouns. And I had called him a him. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I haven't actually called you. I mean, asked you what your pronouns are. And what are they? And he said, I'm sorry, Banana said, banana and rock. And I was like, dude, no, like, don't mess around with, I was actually really upset because I thought he was making fun of it. And in fact, I'm still pretty sure he was making fun of it. And, but they all agreed, no, like, you can choose anything, banana, rock. If you want banana and rock to be a pronoun, banana and rock's a pronoun. Is it? TikTok, tell me.
So chimichanga.
Why not? Why right. The hell not? Right?
Yeah.
Good on those kids, man, because they are totally showing how ridiculous all these fake new neo pronouns are by saying, okay, well, if you can do that, then I can be banana and rock. And what are you going to do about it?
Right.
That's how I identify.
Exactly. I mean, this is the thing. I can be dinosaur and, you know, pterodactyl. That's what I'm going to be.
Not?
Why can't I be that? Yeah. I mean, this, it's all so crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, let him be that. Because next year it's going to change to something else, just like Demi Lovato did it, right? Demi Lovato changed. Why can't I?
Oh my gosh. Did you see that she's now, like, apparently she wrote a song about Wilmer Valderrama, because remember when she dated him back in the day? And the whole song is about how irresponsible he was to date her because he was 29 and she was 18. And she's basically saying that she couldn't consent to, like, things in their
relationship. Oh my God.
She is a complete mental case. The way that she, oh my God, there's so many things that I'm just like, would you just stop? Like, stop blaming all of your crap on other people. Stop blaming your crazy on a relationship with Wilmer Valderrama. Own your problems, because she is out of control. Out of control.
Oh my God, that is nuts. All right.
I know.
Okay, you guys, are we ready? Are we ready for my whack? You guys, I am beyond upset about this, okay? And I need other people to be upset with me. I put this on my wall last night. I read about this yesterday. I'm like, I'm going to go into some sort of hysterics over this. They are remaking Roadhouse, okay? It's not okay. It's not okay at all. The 80s movie Roadhouse. Are you guys sitting
Patrick
down?
Patrick Swayze?
Right. Why do they have to do this? Okay. They keep on remaking Patrick Swayze movies because nobody in Hollywood has any originality. This is completely whack. I am beyond irritated about all of this. You know who's going to be in it? Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh.
Remember from Brokeback Mountain? Oh my God. It's not
why?
Okay. I don't know. I don't know why they're doing this.
Who's going to be the girl?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't even know how they're going to do it. Like, I don't know who's going to do, like, the whole Brad Wesley thing and who's going to rip anybody's throat out. I don't know I don't know who the girl's going to be. I don't even know if there's going to be a girl. I don't know. They may make the whole thing, you know, PC.
Like Brokeback Roadhouse.
Right. I don't know, but I'm very upset about this, you guys. I'm very upset about it. So yeah, so this is coming out. Now there's going to be, like, somebody who's a fighter. There's I'm trying to think of who the dude is. He's a UFC fighter and he's going to be in it too. I think it's Conor McGregor. You guys, I think that's his name. You guys may know.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be in it too. I'm almost positive. Yeah, I think that's who it is. I'm pretty sure. And so I think the new movie is going to feature Gyllenhaal as a former UFC fighter who gets a job at a roadhouse in the Florida Keys. And then he soon discovers that not everything is what it seems in this tropical paradise. Oh my God, I can't. I just can't. I'm like, Hollywood just needs to stop. They need to stop remaking all the movies. They remade Dirty Dancing. They've remade Point Break. which is not okay. All the past, it's like he died and they were like, let's start remaking all of his movies.
How do you improve upon Point Break, I ask you?
They didn't. It sucked. If you ever saw the new one, it was like, this is horrific. It sucked. It's terrible. So they need to stop. They just need to stop doing this. All these great 80s movies they're remaking and they need to stop it. But don't.
If they start trying to touch John Hughes movies, I am going to lose my crap.
Oh,
they better
God.
Not even I'm lay off. A finger on a John Hughes movie. No.
I'm already so upset about Roadhouse. And like, you cannot outdo Sam Elliott in that character with him, you know, pulling his hair back and like, you know, you'll have plenty of time to sleep when you're dead. Remember? You guys remember?
Yeah.
So upset.
Oh my God. That is whack. That is freaking whack.
All right. You guys.
We ran long. Sorry.
Making a remake of Roadhouse. It's not okay. You guys.
It's not okay.
Contact your congressman or something. Like, call somebody about that. It's not okay. Bring it in. Everybody bring it in. Oh my gosh, you guys. Everybody have the greatest, greatest day. It's Thursday, you guys. That means
it is Thursday.
Friday.
Oh,
what?
And we should mention to people that tomorrow night, if you are a listener of Joe Messina, we're going to be on his show tomorrow night, his radio show. And I don't know what all cities he's in. He's in quite a number of cities.
He's all over.
He's all over the place.
That's right.
So, you know, check that out if you are in his listening area. Or he probably, you know, live streams at some point somewhere. So anyway, Friday night at 9:15 Eastern, 8:15 Central is when we're going to be talking with Joe Messina. It's been a long time since we talked to him.
I think that's like 7:15 Pacific, isn't it? 6:15 Pacific? I don't know.
One of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Early.
Something like that. It's earlier Pacific. So. All right, you guys, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye! I know the Biden administration likes to play loosey-goosey with word definitions, but y'all, we are dealing with inflation and we are dealing with a recession. It is here and happening, so you might be worried about your finances, and rightly so.
One thing you can do to diversify is consider investing in physical gold. And we love the monthly subscription offering that Acre Gold has. Acre Gold lets you subscribe to gold bars for as little as $50 a month. You pay each month, and once your gold stash reaches the price of their gold bars, they discreetly ship Acre Gold right to your house. And just recently, Acre has introduced a new $250 a month subscription to a 10-gram gold bar.
That means you're not having to come up with a bunch of money up front. You can lay away your gold, you guys.
And Acre Gold keeps you updated on your progress every month. And then they ship out your gold once you hit the price threshold. It comes right to your doorstep and you can put it right into your safe.
It's a great hedge against inflation and just another way to diversify. Visit GetAcreGold.com/chicks and start investing today.
That's GetAcreGold.com/chicks.
Former Trump immigration official Stephen Miller joins me to explain how Biden's open borders are far more dangerous than most of us understand. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, Miller also details how his America First Legal Foundation is suing the CDC for conspiring to stifle free speech. And I'll explain why Biden giving IDs to illegal immigrants is a horrible idea. Join me. Follow the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.